Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
So the Allianz Leagues are back this weekend. We're going to focus on football this evening. We'll be talking hurling on tomorrow evening's show. Anthony Moyles joins me in studio. Aaron Kernan is on the line as well. In Division 1 on Saturday evening, Dublin, the All-Ireland champions. They start out against Kildare at Croke Park. Then on Sunday, we have Kerry against Donegal, Monaghan against Mayo, and Galway against Tyrone. In Division 2 on Saturday, it's Clare against Cavan, Cork against Tipperary. And on Sunday, it is Louth against Down, Roscommon against Meath. We'll probably spend most of our time focusing on the top two divisions, but as the league goes on, we will try and get to some of the more interesting stories in Division 3 and Division 4. You excited about the league, Anthony?
I wouldn't say overly excited.
Should have got someone else in.
Yeah, exactly. You probably should have asked me that already. All fair. No, I think it's a strange league this year, because I was trying to even think of myself, if you're managing, say, the eight teams in Division 1 or even the eight teams in Division 2. So the teams that should hopefully be trying to get into the Super 8. How do you manage the league? You know, how do you manage it? So we've seen over the past couple of years that some teams have gone flat out for the league and then they've got caught a little bit caught in the championship. So they've, especially Roscommon.
Roscommon's been the perfect example of that over the last
few years. So they decided, okay, which way we do it? We'll tailor our training around it, etc., etc. And Aaron did notice. You kind of get, it's a weird setup, you know, even as a player when you're involved in the league, because you kind of know that the last two rounds are the big rounds, you know, and you kind of nearly, you're saying to yourself, especially if you're, you know, a more experienced player, yes, there's a lot of fellas being tried out, but you can nearly see who are putting the hands up very quickly, and they're doing it right through, be it in the club stuff and then in training and everything else. And all you're hoping as a manager is to pick out one or two, hopefully, which will add to the squad that's already there, and essentially to try and unearth one or two who can actually start and push. But as a more experienced player, you're just kind of really focused on those last two, and those last two, you can even feel the crowds get bigger. There's a bit, you know, the ground is obviously better, the weather's better,
and there's usually something at stake.
Correct, exactly. So the first kind of thing, it's a bit of shadow boxing really for the first four or five rounds, but that could be different this year in the sense of, you know, do teams kind of say, well, listen, probably Super 8 is maybe a stretch for us, and even if we get in there, do we want to be the cannon fodder in there? You know, like, I mean, you can imagine a team, I'll just throw it out there, let's say Tipperary managed to get into the Super 8, but they got picked against Dublin, Kerry and Tyrone. You know, would three games against that kind of opposition bring you on, or would it absolutely cause major detriment to the conference the next year?
So do they get a week in advance of the Super 8s getting patted on the backs that they've had a successful season, and then they get whipped three times and suddenly the manager's out?
Or they get whipped twice, and then the last game is a complete dead rubber, and you know, you're kind of going, who do we put out in this game? So I know I'm kind of mixing both, but it does have an effect on how I would think you approach it. Now, certain teams are going to say, listen, we have to go, we have to unearth, we have to try and win every game, we have to try and get to Division 1. But for some teams, even in Division 1, it's going to be, I think, a strange campaign.
Yeah, Aaron, your thoughts on that? Because I keep hearing that the Super 8s is going to affect how the league runs and how teams prioritise the league. Do you sense that those last couple of weeks where usually we do get games that are almost heading towards championship standard in Division 1, that we might lose out on that?
Yeah, well, I think obviously from the outright, you were probably sitting there looking and go, right, who's your start for Super 8 at this stage? And you would obviously have to imagine it's going to be Dublin and Mayo. If you come back from that there, then my thinking would be, right, next in line, you were probably talking about Kerry and Tyrone. For different reasons, I think they have an awful lot that they need to work on in the National League campaign. In that, say, Kerry, they really need to start bedding in and bringing through some of this brilliant underage talent. Four Hogan Cups, four All-Ireland minors in a row, and we've really seen nothing of it. The oldest of those guys now, you're talking, are in now, they're out of 21, they're 21, 22 years of age. They really need to start pushing on and put a stamp in the team now. Mark O'Connor obviously was a huge loss, who went to Geelong in Australia. Thomas Sullivan played a wee bit of football last year with them. But you're probably looking at Killian Spillane up front. Is he going to potentially push in, or has David Clifford jumped straight past him? That sort of stuff that Eamon Fitzmaurice really needs to give those boys game time to see what he can potentially get out of them. you're talking about Tyrone, their big thing is, if you just simply look over their exit from the Championship this past 2 years, Dublin completely blitzed them, opened Croke Park up as wide as they could open it up, and had runners flooding straight through the channels in front of goals, picking off easy scores or coming on the loop. The year before that there, though, whenever Mayo had a chance to set up against them as well, they put Alan Dillon centre-half forward and basically won the game in the first half because they knew Justin McMahon wasn't going to mark him. Dillon caused serious issues, and that was the winning of the game for them. So the top teams have been able to identify the weaknesses in Tyrone's game plan. Are they going to do the same thing again this year? I would hope not, but that's what the National League, like, you just can't turn around, come Championship and say, right, we're just going to change everything. I think it needs to be progression. And even any of the articles you would see from some of the Tyrone players in recent weeks, it's all sort of, they're talking about this maybe switching mindset and switching in style of play. So that's
going to be the players couldn't have been happy coming off the pitch against Dublin last year. They never even gave themselves a fighting chance.
They didn't. The only thing I would say is I don't think Tyrone were as bad as what, like, honestly, hand in heart now, I was sort of tipping Tyrone for that. I thought that they were going to ambush Dublin on the day. So they weren't definitely as bad as how they performed. The one thing you always get with Tyrone teams is fight, aggression, heart, work rate. They had absolutely none of that. They were just completely flat. For whatever reason, I don't know, like, Tyrone teams always thrived on the big day and potentially been underdogs in that in years gone by, but last year they were without doubt, they were flat. So the players have to probably take a certain amount of responsibility for that themselves, but you have to compliment Dublin and how they set up, the game plan that they implemented. They just completely blitzed them, and you would have to have nothing but credit for Jim Gavin and his management team. But I would like to think that Mickey Hart is going to change things up. I think bringing in Stephen O'Neill this year, there's no point in bringing in Stephen O'Neill if you're going to play with one forward up front, because as good and all as he was in his heyday, he couldn't have done a whole pile if you left him in full forward, isolated by himself, waiting on runners to come the length of the field. It hasn't worked this past few years. It didn't work against Kerry 3 years ago, Mayo 2 years ago, Dublin last year. It has to change if they want to push on and get further than a semi-final.
You mentioned there that Kerry have these successful minors coming through, and we have to wait and see now whether they can progress the senior level. But Tyrone have lost so many senior players over the last 2-3 seasons, with Justin McMahon going now, Sean Cavan is gone. From what you've seen of their minors and of their under-21s coming through, do they have players who are biting and ready and putting pressure on Mickey Hart to replace those guys?
The problem is those guys have 2-3 All-Irelands. They've been part of the most successful era ever in Tyrone football. If you come back in 50 years' time and you say who's the best Tyrone footballers ever, unfortunately, everyone's always going to be judged against those guys because they did it on the big day and they were the most successful. There were a great bunch of players, which obviously helped. There's definitely good young talent coming through. If you, for instance, look at Padraig Campsie and how he came through last year. A super year, doing his job defensively, getting up the field, getting the scores, typical to what you would have seen in years gone by from Philip Jordan, Ray McMenamin, and these types of fellas. There definitely is, there's other people with potential that can step up. Richie Donnelly, Maddie's younger brother, missed most of last year, struggled a bit with injury. Conor Myler was the Samiri Sigerson winning captain, struggled with injury. Rory Brennan, who's sort of been around the squad this past number of years, definitely has the potential to come in and be a starter. And that's all you're really looking for, is 2-3 players. It's never going to be wholesale change, but they do. They have a lot of boys competing at very high levels within their universities across, particularly Jordanstown and St Mary's, and they're always extremely competitive at underage football, be that minor or under 21. And they do have men who are capable of stepping up. But you look through Division 1 and I would see Mayo probably looking for something similar. You know, they won the All-Ireland 2 years ago. Everyone talks about they need a forward. Fergal Boland came out of that team and played a bit last year, but didn't really feature a whole pile in the business end of the Championship. I was sort of getting excited for them whenever Cian Hanley was released by Brisbane Lions. I thought,
he'd be home.
That's exactly what they need. A centre-half forward, a ball winner, someone who can take a score, take others into it. 2 or 3 years of professionalism behind him. then he gets re-signed by Brisbane Lions and puts an end to that. But that's what they need. Donegal have a number of good young players coming through. Again, have been successful at underage. The addition of Nathan Mullins, I think, will be massive for them. Very good footballer. Very
that's Brian
physical.
Mullins' son.
It is indeed, yep. A huge, real athletic. Just look at the Dublin County Final last year.
Where did he play?
He played midfield for St Vincent's. He was Dublin Club Footballer of the Year last year. We come up against them in challenge games with Cross McGlen and St Vincent's every year, and he's a very, very good footballer. Very impressive physical specimen of a man. Really big, strong, powerful. Just look at the Dublin County Final last year. James McCarthy was like a lorry hitting him, and everyone thought his game was over after a minute, but got up, played well for the remainder of the game, and he could make a big improvement to Donegal because he's a very athletic midfielder, you know, capable of breaking to the wings to win kickers, to win primary possession, which may potentially then release Michael Murphy back up to the forward lane. Another young lad from Letterkenny, Niall O'Donnell, has been going really well at underage football, minor and under 21, so he's another player to look out for.
Looking at Donegal, thinking if you've got a midfielder, you can release Murphy. You've got him and McBrearty up front. If you've got Ryan McHugh still in there as well, that maybe Declan Bonner can have an immediate impact.
Owen McHugh has been going really well, really settled into that squad. Pat McBrearty is a younger brother, Stephen, who's also very good. Derek O'Connor is back injury free. Oren McNeilis is back home from America, so that's another forward that you have that you didn't have last year. Do you know, then they start to become potent. They had an absolute shootout in the McKenna Cup, where themselves and Monaghan put almost 20 scores on the board between the two of them each. So defensively, they looked like they were going a wee bit more offensive last year, but left themselves very exposed at the back. There has to be a fine margin with them. Definitely once they are cut loose, they're well capable of racking up big scores, but it's how they're set up defensively in order to... I don't think they need to be as extreme as what they were under Jim McGuinness, but they definitely need to shore up the back a wee bit more than what they were last year.
There's a lot of interesting storylines with new managers, with managers, such experienced managers, All-Ireland winners like Mickey Hart and Eamon Fitzmaurice with points to prove this year. I'm always fearful that we can go through a league preview and not actually talk about Dublin.
Yeah.
We haven't heard a huge amount out of the camp since they've returned from their holidays, but obviously they're going to be missing Con O'Callaghan throughout the league campaign. He's playing club hurling with Coola. Dennis Bastic is the only player who's stepped away. What can Kildare, Mayo, Kerry, what can they do over the league? Can they inflict some sort of psychological damage on Dublin in any way?
Possibly. It's going to, again, you know, Gavin won't want to cede that to anyone. He won't want that potential of that happening. So he'll go out, and he can afford to go out. Like, it's all squads, you know, listening to Aaron there, it's all about squads and the amount of players and the amount. If you only have 17 to 18, 19, 20, and you know that if you start going into from 20 to 25, you're really starting to weaken it, you're in a bad position, especially being in Division 1. So you need 25 who are... thereabouts, you can rest.
But does anybody have that aside from Dublin?
I mean, we just spoke there about Donegal, about Tyrone, about, you know, you have Mayo in a situation like that. And you need to blood the new fellas. But all the while, if you're saying 15, 20 minutes left and I need to bring, say, Killian O'Connor on, or I need to bring someone else on, I can do that, right? I can spring them from the bench and give them some time. Dublin have, of course, that. But I can't, I won't see, like, he'll, if they go along with their mantra of, you know, games kind of a la Kilkenny, that games inside are just as important as the games that they play against other counties. It's all about competition from within the squad. No one is comfortable. You know, anyone can take your position. If that is the mantra, well, then that has to hold true. So whether he, you know, is unearthing these guys just to try to play in the league, you would have to feel that those fellas have actually stood up in whatever bit of training that they've done or in the course of the league, and they've said, no, I want to actually get on this team. Because if I get on this team and keep my position, I have a potential major shot at an All-Ireland final. So that is the carrot for these Dublin players. So he'll the competition again will be massive.
There was, you know, quite a turnover, like it's been brought up many times, a turnover over the last 3 or 4 years with Dublin, the likes of Flynn Brogan, the guys we thought that were irreplaceable, suddenly somebody else has come in and they're not forgotten about, but they're able to take their position on the bench. Dublin still just won the last two All-Irelands by a single point. Mm. They were beaten in the league final last year. Do you sense Gavin is looking at it thinking, maybe I do need something extra, maybe I do need one or two more players to find during this league campaign?
I'd say what he's hoping is that the likes of Conor Callaghan and maybe the likes of some of the other guys who came in last year and made an impact but didn't make a massive impact, that they can really start to step up. Okay, so where you're really starting to say, well, the new leaders are starting to emerge. So the likes of McCarthy and the likes of these guys are always there, yes, but the Flynns, etc., who are, you know, kind of moving out to the back side of it. Mm. Now we're getting the new guys coming in, and they're really.
What do you want from Conor Callaghan?
Well, no, not that. Like, I just think he has the potential. He has the capacity to be an unbelievable player.
So rather than being a one-time footballer of the year,
he turns out
to be one of the greatest players of all time.
Exactly. Well, no, there's going to be a lot demanded of him, okay, and there's going to be a lot of people pulling out of him. And it is going to be quite difficult for him if he wants to kind of be, you know, to play away to all the masters that are there between, you know, the hurling, the football, the college, the club, everything else. His main thing, and I think Gavin will obviously, because Gavin is smart about this, is how he manages him, how he manages the expectation of him this year. Because he's a different animal to Connolly, okay? He is very much a different animal. But last year, he was a bit of a surprise package. You know, you can imagine teams now setting up for him and getting ready for him. You know, a la Connolly, when he then started to really fulfil his potential. The one thing I think which is very important, and Aaron tipped on it a little bit about even the Tyrone situation last year, because like Aaron, I went into that game, I was doing it for you boys, and I was there and I couldn't believe the first 5 minutes. And the look of shock on the Tyrone players, they were ashen face, you know, and the only man who really stood up was Colm Kavanagh, who actually showed a bit of fight, and he was trying to G them up, but it was like, you know, trying to get a 40-year-old car going. Like,
well, what we heard since from the Tyrone camp was that the players didn't seem to believe that they could actually go and beat Dublin, that they had a setup to contain Dublin, but that didn't go onto that pitch thinking,
so that's,
we could actually go
exactly,
and win that
so
game.
That's what I'm saying. So you can be as prepared as you want, you can be as fit as you can have everything done, but if the psychology, and if you're going into a battle, either A, to contain, B, to not go to places where you really want to go to, okay, you know it's going to be hard, but you're not thinking that this is going to be the most extreme battle of your life, well, then you're going to be left undone. And every team, and any team that wants to face, and I think that's where you're talking, like, you look at Kerry, I think Fitzmaurice is going to get that team ready. And I think, again, as you're talking about a psychological scar on Dublin, he will go all out to beat Dublin in the league this year. He will absolutely go all out. He'll want to show his players, especially the younger guys, that you can go there. And I think on the opposite side, where Gavin may have not really seen that as a massive fixture, I think he'll want to put the mockers on younger Kerry guys. He will not want them feeling that, listen, you can come up here or we'll go down there, whatever it is, in their backyard, and you can roll over Kerry.
So we almost have a league of two halves. We won't read a huge amount into what happens between Dublin and Kerry, or Dublin and Kildare this Saturday night, but Dublin Kerry, Dublin Mayo, probably still the two games that we read most into.
Like, I mean, would Gavin be really worried if Kildare got close or bet him? You know, he could probably go first game of the league, you know, with a lot of lads coming back. Great for O'Neill, brilliant fill-up for him. But if that was Kerry, different kettle of fish.
We're still waiting for team news, Aaron, but all the talk this week has been about David Clifford and just how much game time he's going to see, and the excitement down in Kerry of potentially having a full forward line of O'Donoghue, Ganey and Clifford. A young guy, still a teenager, does Fitzmaurice just have to throw him in and get him as much game time as possible and see if he sinks or swims?
I can completely get what they're trying to do and play it down and patience. Conor Callaghan, simple. How did he do? Did they hold him back? Was anyone afraid of him? Do you know, did anyone think he wasn't up to it? David Clifford has absolutely everything. He has the confidence as well to go with it. He has the physique. I would imagine, since we would all have seen him in the All-Ireland Minor Final last September, he would have been pulled aside. He would have been given special treatment in terms of strength and conditioning and building his body up for making an impact at senior inter-county level this year. But the talent he has, now obviously he's coming up against men, he won't have the same time nor space.
Yeah, and is there a slight difference with Conor Callaghan as well, in that, as Anthony touched on, there was an element of surprise with Conn last season? Can't imagine there's going to be any element of surprise with Clifford.
Maybe not, but like, who do you put? Like, does every team have three unbelievable man markers? Like, who do you pinpoint? So, like, if they put their best man marker on David Clifford, does that mean Paul Ganey gets more space and James O'Donoghue gets more space? Kerry's still going to revel in that, you know. There's only so many top men. So if Kerry are getting their full team out and they have no injuries, somebody is going to get a lesser quality of man marker. So if David Clifford gets the top man for defensive duties, Paul Geaney and James O'Donoghue, they have a wee bit maybe more time or space, are not the same focus on them. So it helps Kerry, even by his presence being there, if other teams are really going to focus on him. Are they going to put their top man marker on someone who's a novice against some of your more experienced players? I'm not so sure that other managers would do that there. Each to their own, but his presence alone will help those around him. And I just think he is that good, and physically he is so big. And I would imagine he'll be stronger than what we've seen him as a minor, even though it'll only be 5-6 months work he will have put under his belt. But his vision, his ability to kick off either foot, his directness, I think that the National League alone will go a long way to helping him bed into what intercounty football is all about.
I think, Aaron, as well, you know, like Aaron touched on physique, and physique is massive when you're taking that step up, you know, because guys will try to obviously physically dominate him, and that is not going to be an easy task. And the thing with Kerry is, and because he's so big, they can drift him out at times. They can put him out at 11. You know, they could make him just kind of sally around midfield if they want. So if they feel that there's a lot of pressure being applied on him, they can
If you spend 50 minutes with Philly, maybe you just move him out of there.
Just move him out a bit. You know, if you see how he's going. Because, you know, you obviously have to mind him to a certain degree too. But, like, I sat beside Daryl Kaneda for the final, and we were just chatting about it. And he just said that Kerry have realised what they have. And they did absolutely everything they could. You know, and I hope I'm not breaching any confidence in Dara here, but they did everything they could to make sure that no one in Australia got him, and that he was happy and that he was comfortable, the family were happy, and he's all about, he comes from a very small club, I believe, and he's all about playing for Kerry.
Yeah.
So he will be 100%. This is what he has wanted.
And that's a good thing here. Get him scholarships, get him whatever you need to do to keep him there.
Absolutely, that's the way to do it.
I'd say Paul Geaney is rubbing his hands, looking forward to the league if Clifford's going to be man.
Fitzmaurice is rubbing his hands. Like, what a fill up for a squad to have this guy coming in.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.